I'm Molly Weisenberg. Whoops.
Not how we start.
That's not how we start the show.
No, let's get more. I think what you mean is I'm Mara Liasson.
And I'm...
I don't know who else is on
NPR.
Carl Castle.
That's the wrong person. Carl Castle is the right person.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where our producer is going to kill us for messing up the intro.
And you can't have any.
Okay.
I hope this is someone's first episode of the show.
So
they're
too.
Like, I heard about this new podcast, Spilled Milk. I think, what is going on?
Why? But it's hosted by Mara Eliasson.
And Carl Castle, who is hosting the show despite being dead.
Wow. He is phoning us from the beyond.
Wow. What an honor that he decided to call into our show.
Well, didn't he like leave voicemails for people?
That's
Wasn't
right.
Wasn't that a Carl Castle thing?
Wait, don't tell me. Like you could get a voicemail from Carl Castle. Yeah, for all I know, he's still doing it.
Okay, great. Well, today we're talking about cranberry juice.
As you might expect from that intro.
Yeah, you know, happy holiday season, everybody. Let's talk about cranberry juice.
Yeah, I think this fell out of our recent cranberry episode when we realized we hadn't done a cranberry juice episode.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, let's do it.
Yeah, I was like, let's not mess around. Let's not wait. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's not put it off like we've been doing with spaghetti.
Let's not wait until we too have to call in from the beyond
grave, yeah.
To record this. No, Matthew.
Which, to be clear, I will.
Oh, God.
I will haunt you.
Threat. Okay, so Matthew, I want to start out by sharing my memory lane.
Please
which is,
do.
So I grew up, well, for me, I did grow up.
Okay, good.
Unlike some people.
I'm working on it.
For me, cranberry juice is synonymous with the brand Ocean Spray.
Of course.
Does Ocean Spray even make anything else?
They make ruby red grapefruit juice. They make craisins.
Oh, these are all still kind of adjacent.
Yeah, I mean, somehow the grapefruit juice. I'm Carl Castle, and I'm calling to tell you about grapefruit juice. No, it was his wonderful diction. Somehow grapefruit juice seems adjacent to cranberries. I agree. That's what I was trying to say.
Thank you. Thanks. Okay. So when I was a kid, the one that I liked best was Cran Apple. You know, there was a whole bunch of like Cran hyphen stuff going
Absolutely.
On.
Absolutely. And there's more than there's ever been.
Really?
Yeah. Like there's like Cran Pomegranate, which I didn't get. I just got some classics.
That seems redundant. Like
because they're
like,
kind of the
like
same
sour,
anyway.
Sour.
Yeah. There's Cran Grape. We had that when we were a kid. But
Cran Raspberry.
Now there's like all kinds of like diet versions.
But
I got just some of the ones we remember from our childhood.
So the main juice actually in my household growing up, and we did keep juice around all the time, was Cran Apple. Full stop.
Yeah. And I think I have a theory about Cran Apple that we'll get into when we start drinking the stuff.
Okay.
I was never a big fan of Cran Apple. But I wasn't really into apple juice at all as a kid. I don't know why.
Okay.
I still could kind of take it or leave it, but I loved the original cranberry juice cocktail. And then I kind of remember when they introduced Cran Raspberry, which must have been like the late 80s, early 90s, and really liked Cran Raspberry.
I don't know that I've tasted it since I was a kid. I can still imagine what Cran Apple tastes like. And to me, Cran Apple is the flavor of cranberry juice.
Okay. And for me, cranberry juice cocktail is the flavor of cranberry juice.
I think that as a young child, I was afraid of cranberry juice cocktail. It seemed like too sour.
That's what I was going to say about Cran Apple. I think Cran Apple is a much milder version of cranberry juice cocktail.
By the time I was old enough to drink a Cosmopolitan, which we will be talking about in
which
just a moment.
Which I don't think I've ever had.
By that point, I was like full steam ahead with cranberry juice cocktail.
Okay.
I was on board.
Yeah, so I drank a ton of Ocean Spray as a kid. I loved cranberry juice cocktail. It was one of my favorite juices. I don't think we like kept it around all the time. I think it was more of like a special treat, but I sure loved that stuff.
Why is it called cranberry juice cocktail?
Oh, you want to get into this? Okay.
Yes.
So let me quote from Wikipedia. Quote, the term cranberry juice cocktail or cranberry juice blend refers to products that contain about 28% cranberry juice, with the remainder either from other fruit juice concentrates, typically grape, apple, or pear, water, and added sugar to improve palatability. But I looked at the ingredient label of Ocean Spray cranberry juice cocktail, and it's just cranberry juice, water, sugar, and like natural colorings and preservatives.
So is cranberry juice, so I think I've always thought of cranberry juice cocktail as like the basic cranberry juice.
Yeah, I think so too. And I also got 100% cranberry juice for us to try.
Oh, that doesn't have any water or sugar.
Any water. So the thing I realized is, okay, I'm gonna skip ahead a little bit in the agenda here. Can I have permission?
Oh, fine.
Back in the 80s, let's see. Yeah, the mid 80s, Congress was considering legislation to require all juice manufacturers to put the percentage of real juice on their bottles. Mm-hmm. And the Ocean Spray Collective lobbied vigorously against this because they did not want to put on their cranberry juice cocktail label 27% juice. Mm-hmm. They lost, and they do have to put that on the bottle now. But I feel like they sort of had a point because, like, fruit juices like vary widely in how watery they are, right? It's not really cranberry's fault that cranberry juice is an incredibly intense concentrated juice that you don't want to drink straight.
Yes.
compared to watermelon juice.
But at the same time, I do imagine that like people who had been buying cranberry juice cocktail for a long time thinking they're drinking juice.
Sure.
In the same way that like fresh squeezed orange juice is juice.
Yeah, I get it.
They were probably like, what? So I'm actually drinking like sugar water with some cranberry flavor?
Yeah. But yeah, that's true. I mean, they do add sugar to it. So yeah. So I guess they probably deserve to lose that one.
Well, okay. So I think we need to, at this point, start tasting.
I think we should. Yeah, I'm excited.
So in the cheese plate philosophy, we would begin with pure cranberry.
Okay, but like, isn't that like starting with like Roquefort? Because the pure cranberry is going to be so strong. I think we should start with cranberry juice cocktail.
Okay.
Do pure cranberry either last or next.
I'm torn. Yeah. Let's start with cranberry juice cocktail. Because I think that, yeah, pure cranberry, you're right, would be like starting with Roquefort. Great. I'm so glad that I said that. Matthew, did you buy all Ocean Spray products today?
I did.
It's interesting because, yeah, I feel like if I were heading out to buy cranberry juice, I might buy cranberry juice cocktail in like a generic form, but I don't think I would buy like a cranberry fruit juice. I don't think I would buy any other brand but Ocean Spray of like a blend.
Yeah, I looked at like the store brands and like some like natural-ish knockoff brands, but like I felt like I had to go with the original. Okay, this is a beautiful color that comes
really
partly
beautiful.
I think from like beet juice extract, but
Oh, that's so
it's
good.
So good.
It's so good. It even has that like tannic quality that cranberries have.
Oh, yeah, man. This is a brilliant product.
God, I love that stuff. Ooh, so good.
When I was typing up like stuff on the agenda, my fingers kept wanting to write crankberry juice, which is nothing, but it sure was fun to say.
Oh, man. Okay, that's really tasty. Mm-hmm. So, okay, speaking of Ocean Spray, do we have any interesting corporate history, Matthew?
We do. Okay, so Ocean Spray is a growers cooperative. So it's like 700 different farmers like working together under one corporate umbrella for largely for like marketing and distribution purposes. They are real good at marketing to the extent that I didn't consider any other brands today. They have members in the U.S., Canada, and Chile.
Okay.
The headquarters is in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and they sell about 80% of the world's cranberries.
Wow. Yeah. That is a huge market share.
Yep.
That's wild.
So Ocean Spray was founded in 1930, and they introduced cranberry juice cocktail the same year.
Wow. Okay. So cranberry juice cocktail was like the flagship store, the flagship product, the flag.
Yeah. They raised a red flag.
Oh, man.
Which probably means something bad happened, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And
What do you call it when it's like the signature product? What do you call it when it's like the central, like
I like signature product.
Okay.
we'll come up with it. Okay. Can you imagine if like we were that successful with our first product?
What was our first product? Our children?
Yeah, or the fried egg episode.
Oh, the fried egg episode. Oh, God, I can't even imagine going back and listening to it.
We literally did an episode where we went back and listened to it.
Whoops.
Okay, then I guess, like, the depression hit, because then the next thing I could find on their corporate timeline was that they introduced Cran Apple in 1963. So 33 years later, I tried to figure out when Cran Raspberry was introduced, but I remember it happening. So it must have been the late 80s, early 90s.
Okay. And I note that you did not find the dates for, like, Cran Grape, Cran Doobie 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 Doo.
I do have one other coming up that I tried to find and could not find at the store.
Okay.
They were the first company to market the juice box.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I had Cran Apple juice boxes as a kid.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, I forgot.
I remember the sensation of drinking cranberry juice cocktail, or maybe even Cran Apple, through the little tiny straw from the juice box.
I do too.
Right?
I do too.
My mouth is going to be so wet from this acidic juice for this episode, so you're welcome.
Wow. Is it making your mouth really wet?
It's making it. Yeah, I'm salivating all over the place.
Wow. I hadn't noticed that, but now I'm going to start paying more attention.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, hold on. We mentioned in the cranberry episode that sometimes... Bless you. That's so cute.
Thanks.
Oh, that was so cute. Okay. So that cranberries, they need a fair amount of sun to turn red. And so some cranberries are harvested white or like pale pink. And that would be what is used to make white cranberry juice.
Yes. And I tried. They introduced white cranberry juice cocktail in 2002 to be like a less tart choice. Mm-hmm. I could not, like, I found the place on the shelf for it, and I found, like, white cran peach, I think, but that didn't sound appealing to me. Mm-hmm. So I did not get the white cranberry juice cocktail.
Okay.
A thing I was going to say about my cute little sneezes is sometimes at work people ask me if I will, like, sing a particular song because mm-hmm. they know I like to sing songs. And my coworker Dave asked if I would sing Hallelujah, the Leonard Cohen version.
Okay.
And I'm like, Dave, have you heard how high my voice is?
I was going to say.
I cannot do that. It would sound ridiculous.
That would be you'd be like, oh.
It would be, yeah, it would sound exactly like mm-hmm. what Molly just said.
That's right. So, okay, we've been talking about cranberry juice cocktail, but I want to talk also about cocktails made with cranberry juice.
I would love to talk about that. And can we like grab another
let's
couple
grab another.
Of juices?
Yeah, let's grab another couple juices. So what does it mean to get juiced? Like when Bob Dylan sings about like something about school, but you know you only used to get juiced in it. What does that mean?
First off, I think we've talked about this on the show
before. Yeah, but I've forgotten.
I don't think we came to a conclusion. Like, I've got Bob in my Rolodex. I'm going to call Bob.
Okay.
And ask him what he meant. But I think probably just like spilling juice on yourself. Let's do Cran Apple.
I want to do Cran Apple first. I think that Cran Apple to me feels like a more sort of mellow product?
I think it is. And here is my evidence, like before I even taste it. So wife of the show, Lori, said, hey, like, okay, we know that cranberry juice cocktail is 27% juice. Is Cran Apple just a mixture of cranberry juice and apple juice? So it's going to be 100% juice? Oh, no. If you look on the label, it is 15% juice.
Wow. This is the flavor of my childhood. And it's very apple-y.
It's very apple-y. And it's like, it's milder than apple juice, I think.
I get almost no cranberry flavor.
Yeah. This is like reddish apple juice. It's not bad, but...
No, it's not bad. I mean, I wouldn't kick it out of bed. But
you get juiced with it?
Nah, I wouldn't really get juiced with it.
So let's see.
Okay, I'm curious to try Cran Raspberry.
I get why kids like that.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's... Actually, the place where I notice cranberry in it is in a little bit of tannin at the end.
Yeah, I agree. Let's crack open the Cran Raspberry. This one is also 15% juice.
Okay.
You're going to take some juice home, right? I want to shout out wife of the show, Lori, for being the one who fit the four bottles of cranberry juice beverages into the fridge last night.
Did they not come in smaller sizes?
No, I looked. They came in larger sizes.
Oh, dear. This smells very raspberry-y.
There's like a gallon size of some of these. Whoa.
Whoa.
I don't like this anymore. I don't hate it.
I mean, but to me, it tastes like raspberry candy.
No, I just want the, it's too sweet for me. Like, I just want the original. It's not tart enough.
Oh, I mean, you know, I think it's pretty delicious, but I prefer it over cran apple.
I would tell you what, like, with a squeeze of lime, I would totally go for this. Maybe a squeeze of lime and a little soda water.
I'm also going to say pellet ice.
Yes.
With some pellet ice.
Put the pellet on.
I don't hate this. I mean, it's not really what I would turn to when I want cranberry juice.
Yeah, I don't hate it either, but it's definitely my least favorite of the three.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. I'll take it home.
Okay. Yeah. And I thought, like, this was, like, I remember loving this when it came out, and I don't think the juice has changed. I think I have changed.
I think that's right. Well, I'm going to go home and fill my baby's baby bottles with it because that's what we're supposed to feed our 9-month-olds.
I think that's what it says right here. Yeah.
Yeah. Feed your babies lots of sugary juice.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I never buy juice anymore. Like, I feel like I think of myself as a person who sort of tries to be, like, immune to nutritional trends. And yet, I do feel like when the man said, like, we're not doing juice anymore, like, it kind of sunk in.
Yeah, me too. I know. But that said, especially since I've been trying to drink less alcohol for the past, like, 6 months or so, I feel like a really nice substitute could be, like, cranberry juice, little fizzy water, lime.
Oh, yeah. That sounds great.
In that case, I'm very, very pro juice.
Yeah. No, even though Bob Dylan said we're not getting juiced in it anymore.
Oh, you even bought Ocean Spray here.
Yes. Ocean Spray, 100% cranberry.
Okay. Wow.
So what does it say on here? Is there like a warning about, like, don't drink too much of this?
Let's see.
Ocean Spray, pure unsweetened cranberry. It says 4 servings per container.
Oh, wow.
That seems
okay, this
unwise.
Bottle, this bottle is made from the juice of over 2 pounds of cranberries.
Uh-huh. Okay, now I'm excited to try this. I don't think I've ever had this before. It's much darker in color than the cocktail, as you might imagine. And I think it doesn't have any artificial color.
Ah!
Oh, my God.
Wow.
It's so interesting, though.
Mm, wow.
It tastes like if you take, like, a beautiful cranberry out of a bag, and you're like, I'm going to eat this. This has got to be good. You're like, and then your mouth, like, dies.
Wow. I can't stop.
This is so fascinating.
Okay. This, I think, could go a long way with some sparkling water and some lime, right?
That would be great.
I think it'd be very good. But, I mean, this is intense.
Yeah. But the idea, so it literally says 4 servings per container, serving size 1 cup, 8 fluid ounces.
Who could possibly drink this?
That would be, like, so wild.
Wouldn't you get some sort of, like, ulcer?
I think you'd get every kind of ulcer. I mean, it is delicious, but it's like,
I don't, what, you know, okay, listeners, if
what
any
would
of you,
do with
if
this?
Any of you are big fans of pure unsweetened cranberry juice, tell us about it. What do you do with this?
Maybe it could go, I was going to say maybe it could go into a punch, but no, that's what you do with regular cranberry juice cocktail. I feel like there was some punch that I liked as a kid. Like, people were always serving non-alcoholic punches when we were kids,
right? That's right. And then there was the one that you would float orange sherbet
of
in.
Of course, yeah, with, like, that had, like, 7-Up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think there was another one maybe, like, around the holidays this that is, had cranberry juice.
This is growing on me, but I think you're going to have to take me to the emergency room soon.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's clearly, it's good.
It's going to take the enamel off my teeth.
That actually was a warning on the Wikipedia page.
Really?
Yes.
It's staining your teeth. Is it staining my teeth?
Right. So I think I looked up and, like, pure cranberry juice is something like pH of 2.6.
So
extremely acidic.
Could, like, I, like, pour this down the drain when I have a clog?
Maybe you could.
Wonder if I, like, put some in my hair and slept with it, if I'd wake up and all my hair would be burned off.
Oh, I thought you said if your hair would be cranberry red. Mm. I mean, certainly your bed would be.
That's true.
Okay. You'd wake up and, like, look at the pillow and be like, did I get murdered?
Matt. Matthew, you put down here that there is a drink called a Cape Codder, which I hadn't thought of in ages, and I don't think I ever really knew what it was.
So I think the Cape Codder, like the term kind of dropped off in favor of vodka cranberry. Mm. Which I can more often, it's easier to imagine someone ordering a vodka cranberry than a Cape Codder, even though I think they're the same thing.
Okay.
And the Cape Codder, guess who popularized it? It was Ocean Spray.
Oh, geniuses.
So there was an existing drink called the Red Devil that was served in bars in Cape Cod and elsewhere in the northeastern region starting in the 1940s, but was not particularly well-known outside the region. Mm-hmm. And so in the mid-60s, Ocean Spray started marketing the Cape Codder cocktail. They put like ads in newspapers and magazines, and it was an immediate success.
Wow.
And so it's a cocktail consisting mostly of cranberry juice cocktail with some vodka and a squeeze of lime or just lime wedge garnish.
Okay. So it was the foundation on which the Cosmopolitan
was built, although I think that is correct, but in a way it's sort of the opposite of a Cosmo, because a Cosmo is like a little bit of cranberry juice and mostly other stuff, and a Cape Codder could be as much as like four parts cranberry to one part vodka.
Ah, okay. I didn't realize that it was that the proportions were that different.
When I was looking at recipes, that's about as high a ratio as you can go. Like some are like, you know, could be like 2-1, but it's always mostly cranberry.
Okay. Well, so a Cosmo,
which I've totally forgot to put Cosmos on the agenda and was roundly upbraided my co-host.
I was. So a Cosmopolitan is cranberry juice cocktail, vodka, either Cointreau or triple sec, so some sort of orange liqueur, and lime. It is usually shaken and mm-hmm. served up in a martini glass.
Yeah, I don't have a martini glass, but I think I have everything else. Should we do it?
Let's make one. I'm really curious. I have not had one since like 1998.
And I don't know if I've had one ever, and remind me to do the shaking next to the microphone.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, whose proportions are we using? So
this is an IBA cocktail, so I think we should just use the official International Great. Bartending Association.
Great. Let's do it.
The IBA recipe calls for vodka citron. I just have plain vodka.
I was surprised to find that when I was doing the research for this cocktail, I was surprised to find that was sort of the standard, because I had always assumed it was just plain vodka, so...
I didn't put enough ice.
No, it sounds really juicy. But you know what? That's all right. Okay. It's a juicy cocktail.
Also, I'm not shaking as hard as I should because I'm afraid of dripping on the rug.
All right. It's 1:39 p.m. on a Monday, and I'm ready to get juiced. That looks so good. okay, cheers, Matthew.
Cheers.
This smells really good.
I'm sure it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm getting mostly...
I can taste the bad vodka.
Yeah, I'm getting mostly vodka and lime.
I feel like the cranberry juice is like largely for color. It's like 30% of the volume.
Okay. And then what percentage is vodka?
Like 40%.
Okay. So the origin story of this thing is disputed. I think most of us, myself included, have always thought this is like a modern creation.
I thought it was created by columnist Carrie Bradshaw.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. But there's a recipe for it in a bartending book published in 1934.
Okay.
Where it was called the Cosmopolitan Daisy.
Cute.
There are many origin stories, though, and I'm going to share just a few of them. There's an origin story that traces it to the gay community in P-Town.
All right. That makes sense. Provincetown, Mass.
Yeah.
My ancestral homeland.
There is also another origin story that says that a bartender named Neil Murray created it in 1975 at the Cork and Cleaver Steakhouse in Minneapolis. He says that he added a splash of cranberry juice to a kamikaze. And the first taster declared, "How cosmopolitan."
Sure.
Here's another. Some cocktail historians credit the bartender Cheryl Cook of the Strand Restaurant in South Beach, Florida, with creating it in 1985 or 86. There's more. Anyway, it became really popular in the 90s because Madonna was spotted drinking one in 1996.
I think I remember that.
And it was later frequently mentioned on Sex and the City. It's what Carrie Bradshaw ordered whenever she was out with her ladies.
Was this in the Madonna movie Truth or Dare? I feel like I brought this movie up recently for some reason.
I've never seen it.
I've seen it. Oh, wow. I haven't thought about this in so long. I don't remember, like, whose house this was at or, like, how we had access to a hot tub, because I don't think I had hot tub friends. But, like, some of my friends, I sat in a hot tub and watched Truth or Dare on, like, a TV near the hot tub.
Wow.
Isn't that
Matthew,
awesome?
That's
and,
pretty
and we,
awesome.
And we were, like, very proud of ourselves.
And, I mean, wasn't Truth or Dare, like, really racy? Like, the eyes wide shut of its year?
That is certainly how it was marketed.
But it, like, wasn't?
It was a Madonna concert film in which, like, she takes her bra off at one point, as I recall.
Okay.
It was not as racy as any of us, like, you know, hormonal teenagers wished it was.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, fair
but
enough.
But I think it was a good concert movie.
Great. Matthew, what about the old wisdom that cranberry juice is good for your urinary tract system?
Unfortunately,
your urinary tract system.
Yes,
there's a whole system of urinary tracts.
Yeah, I have like several
in your body. Well, you wondered where sweat comes from? All those urinary
tracts. We have
tracts.
Bad news. Okay. Unfortunately, this was a thing. I think it's still a thing that you hear, but has been thoroughly debunked. Like the acid from cranberry juice just doesn't penetrate that far when you drink it.
I would think it would be radically altered by one's stomach and one's intestines.
Probably doesn't hurt.
Actually, wait a minute. Your urine.
Is the urinary tract connected to the intestines?
No. I'm trying to remember.
No. Oh, yeah. I don't remember either.
I don't remember at what point things get shunted off. Like, at what point does the kidneys?
Well, the blood gets filtered through the kidneys. And then is emitted as urine.
Right. But at what point? Oh, it's the blood. It's not the food.
It's not the food. But I mean,
oh my God! So you would have to get cranberry juice in your blood.
But obviously, things you drink can certainly affect your urine.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So we solved that one.
Wow. I'm still feeling confused. But anyway, Matthew,
this is the illusion of explanatory depth. Have you ever heard this term?
No.
This is something my dad and I were talking about the other day. It's that feeling when, like, you're like, I know how a bicycle works, obviously, and then you try and explain it, and you're like, shit, I do not know how a bicycle works.
Well, but so hold on. What's the illusion part of it?
The illusion is that you have convinced yourself that you know how something works because, like, you have experience with it or have learned it once before, or it just kind of seems obvious, and then when you try to explain it or draw it, then you realize how much you don't know.
Okay.
It's like, it's related to the idea that, like, to really understand something, you need to teach it. That's sort of why that's true, because, like, you will, in your own mind, gloss over the parts you don't know until you try and explain it to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And that is us and the digestive system.
There we go. You mean the urinary tract system.
The urinary tract system, yes.
Okay.
I'm trying to get more urinary tracts installed. Like... It's like how some people want to have six-pack abs. I want to have six urinary tracts just like busting out all over.
You'd be like a shower head.
I would be like the world's worst shower head, yes. You think like a low water pressure, like drippy ass shower head is the worst? Oh no, I can do way worse than that.
Okay.
So that was obviously our cranberry juice episode.
Okay. Matthew, we have some spilled mail.
I would love to hear it.
So this is from listener Robin. That's Robin with an I. Hi, Matthew and Molly. Two questions occur.
Oh, so you mean it's not Robin the singer is what you were getting at.
What I was getting at. Yeah. Okay. Hi, Matthew and Molly. Two questions occurred to me as I was in the kitchen this morning. As I was putting away dishes that had dried overnight in the dish rack, my Le Creuset Dutch oven almost slipped from my hands onto the tiled floor.
Yep.
Luckily, I caught it in time. It makes me full body shiver to think of the Dutch oven cracking or cracking the floor tiles or breaking my toes. This makes me wonder, do you have any recurring kitchen nightmares, such as potential accidents or hazards that make you recoil in horror at the thought of them? On a happier note, what's your favorite food packaging? I love this transition here. For me, it's definitely metal tomato or anchovy paste tubes that you pierce with a pointy bit on the outside of the cap.
Yep.
It's so satisfying to open them and then squeeze out the perfect amount of tomato paste. Thank you, as always, for your show. I look forward to it every week.
Yeah, we have one of those tubes in the fridge right now. I used it the other day. Very satisfying.
It's so I really only ever use it for tomato paste, but it's so gratifying. Also, to like not keep wasting this can.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, there's way too much tomato paste in a tomato paste can.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It should be one tablespoon.
That's right. Okay, potential accidents or hazards.
I mean, I guess like puncturing one of my urinary tracts would be right up there. Okay, so I have a real answer to this. This has happened to me in the kitchen multiple times that there's like a steak knife in the silverware cup of the dish drainer, and as I'm like pulling something else out, I flip it out of there, and two separate times it has landed stuck into the linoleum floor, like standing up, and I'm like, oh, that could have been my foot.
Yeah, I have definitely dropped. So this is one reason why I don't like leaving sharp knives in the dish drainer. Like, I will always dry them off and put them away right away.
You think you're better than me.
I do.
Because you're awkward.
I do. Except my spouse leaves them in the dish drainer all the time.
No, I'm the culprit in this house.
I have dropped sharp knives multiple times, and I am not somebody who is always working in the kitchen with closed-toed shoes.
No, me neither.
And it is always terrifying. I've never actually hurt myself. But every time I feel like I have had a brush with a life-altering event.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
I have.
Another one that like literally, it's a literal recoil in horror because I did this recently and luckily like recoiled quickly enough that it wasn't a serious injury, is you put a cast iron pan in the oven, baking something real hot in there. And then you're like, oh, I'm going to grab this pan by the handle. And like as you're starting to touch, you're like, ah! That was exactly the sound I made.
Ash was reminding me the other day of some burns that I got from making toffee a couple years ago.
Oh, I can see that.
And the burns were like on the inside of my arm. It was like a splash. But the beautiful thing about the human memory is I don't really remember it.
But you just did.
Well, but Ash was describing it to me, and I was like, huh, yeah, I mean, I remember that I burned myself and that I had, you know, kind of this like... I mean, it definitely like bubbled up.
Yeah.
But I don't remember the pain.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there are any other things that like haven't happened in the kitchen but could, and I worry about them. No, I mean, live in a dream world.
I've never like dropped a full pot of something liquid.
Yeah, that would be real bad.
I mean, that just sounds terrible. Not only having to clean up liquid from like everywhere, but also having it be boiling hot liquid.
Yeah, like dumping hot liquid on myself. That's probably the worst one.
Well, yes, I mean, you would be seriously injured.
So, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe I should like stick to like cold soups from now on.
Probably.
Okay.
Matthew, what you snacking?
Hey, what you snacking? You gotta tell me what you snacking. Or I'll release the kraken. So what you snacking?
What you snacking?
I don't think I've talked about this one on the show before. There is a brand of granola called Love Crunch.
I think haven't you talked about it?
Have I talked about it before?
I don't know.
All right. Well, maybe on the granola episode. Anyway, I'm eating Love Crunch peanut butter chocolate granola. It's great with milk. It's great by itself as a snack. I also just like the name because as we have long said, my love for the crunch is fierce.
That's right.
That was from the milkshakes episode.
Mm-hmm. I'm snacking, but I'm just snacking on the usual stuff.
Okay, yeah. Great. Our producer is Abby Circatella.
That's right. And you can rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
And you can talk to other spilled milk. Wait a minute. We didn't talk about our favorite food packaging. We need to go back.
Oh, we got to go back. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
You thought the show was over, but it is not.
It is not over. You know, for some reason, what's coming to mind for me is my least favorite food packaging.
Oh, me too. Like the goldfish bag, right?
Oh, the goldfish bag is so dumb. On the other hand, you know what's really good is the goldfish carton, like when you buy a big one.
Yes and no. The problem is, like, it gets stale too fast because it doesn't actually close.
Mm, Ours hasn't gotten stale, and we've had it for a while.
Okay.
Okay, my least favorite packaging is, so when I buy either Strauss plain yogurt or like the Trader Joe's, like European style whole milk plain yogurt, a lot of yogurts, frankly.
A lot of yogurts.
You take off the plastic lid, and then there's a thin sheet of plastic that's like adhered to the container, and you peel that off.
Oh, yeah.
But yogurt always sticks to it, and it often also tears when you're pulling it off. It doesn't come off cleanly. I hate it.
Okay, the question was about favorite food.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. You know what? Okay. One of my favorite food packagings is when they introduced the peel-off Oreo
packaging. I was about to say that. That was brilliant.
Like that, because Oreos really do get stale instantly if they're exposed to air, and that really works. It really reseals.
I was just remembering when we did an Oreo episode, and I'd never encountered that packaging before.
Oh, you opened the end? Yeah. And like I got so mad, I stormed out, and then I realized we recorded my house.
Yeah. I wish that they used that packaging for graham crackers, because graham crackers get stale instantly, and they're always just in that little sort of crinkly plastic sleeve, and it's pointless.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, but my favorite packaging, gosh, I do think the peel and stick is great.
Yeah, I stole your Oreo. Like what makes food packaging great? It's like that it lets you dispense the amount you want, or that it's easy to reseal in a useful way, right?
Right. I mean, that it counts, that it reduces waste, I think.
Yeah. Maybe the best packaging is no packaging.
And that you don't get your hands dirty, I think, too.
Yeah, because like, yeah, I keep thinking of bad ones also, because like the good ones you don't notice because they're just doing their job, and it's not fair. We should notice them.
I mean, like, I feel quite torn, for instance, about buying the squeeze thing of Hellmann's mayonnaise or Best Foods mayonnaise, as opposed to the tub where you unscrew the top.
Sure.
The squeezy thing, so much better, so much better. However, I feel like there's always some weird squeezy stuff you can't get out of there.
Of course. Yeah.
And that bothers me.
One other that I really like, of course, I'm going to name a Japanese thing.
Oh, fine.
There's a brand called Meiji the Chocolate that is sold at convenience stores in Japan. I think I've seen it like at a Wajamaya.
I think
maybe.
So, too.
It comes in like a cardboard box that you like lift the tab, and then there are these little individually wrapped chocolate squares inside. Oh, so satisfying.
So pleasing. Okay.
All
well,
right. Anyway, talk to other people. Everythingspilledmilk.reddit.com. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk. Two hosts, 14 urinary tracts.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
And I'm Matthew Hamster Burton.
Here I am, just talking and talking and talking. Boopy doopy doo 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 doo. Have you guys gotten your Bon Maman advent calendar?
Not doing it this year.
You're not doing it this year? Did you make a decision together? Did you sit down and talk about what advent calendars you were doing?
Yeah, it was the most intense family meeting we've ever had.
Wow. This is a scintillating conversation. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.